Hello, it's Leah here with Tits Up to Breast Cancer, the weekly recording. It's Tuesday. And I've been mulling over this week's topic, and I was back and forth between a couple of topics. And I decided on body image today, because also with having started this Patreon thing, which I haven't put out there for patrons quite yet, so I'm still working on it. I've just been working on B4 body image. I'm doing this A to Z on my Patreon, and I thought, oh, it ties up nicely if I do body image for Tits Up to Breast Cancer podcast today. So body image. Now, this is one of my specialties. It's one of my areas of expertise, although I do not claim to know 100% of everything about body image or be the only expert on this. I'm not saying I've got it all right, but it is an area that I've been working with for quite a number of years now, and an area I've had needed to traverse myself in the past. Not so much through the breast cancer, actually, but I'll get to that later. But when I was younger and in my ballet training around the age of 19, my professional training and dance training, and I was told I was too big for ballet. Now, if you know me, or you see me, or see photos of me, I'm actually really petite. In the David Kibbe system, I currently identify as flamboyant gamine. I'm petite, but I'm a healthy weight. There's been times I've been a little bit, tiny bit extra weight than I am now, tiny bit less weight than I am now, especially around the diagnosis of the breast cancer. I didn't know why I'd lost a few pounds, but it was the tumour. Eating tumours eat calories, I tell you. And I was eating normally, but I lost a few pounds, but, you know, I'm actually considered a really, really healthy weight now, but I'm petite, I'm not like some tiny, tiny rhythmic gymnast, and that's what was brought up to me in my past when I was about 19 from a ballet teacher. I needed to be like this other girl, apparently, in the class who was only 12, actually, and a rhythmic gymnast. And that's just not me. And so for classical ballet, that's what was needed. So I was told I'd be better at neoclassical, modern ballet. But I love classical. I love the whole blush pink swan leg. And I wanted my dream, so I chose to lose weight. Now that's... Now I wouldn't. Now I wouldn't. Not even for a ballet dream. But when you're 19 and your teacher who you look up to says that, and she didn't mean any harm, actually. She was stuck in the system and the guidelines, which was not healthy back then. A lot's changed now. And so I went on what I thought was a healthy diet to lose a few extra pounds I'd gained going, you know, down south to uni and dance school and, you know, sort of didn't really know how to cook, and so eating a bit of crap, and still don't really know how to cook, to be fair. Not my strength. I might learn, yeah, before I'm 50, or maybe not, let's see. So I've had my struggles with body image. I got addicted to the dieting and wanted to get down to sort of some Russian dance guidelines, which is just not right for me. For me, it wasn't about emotional regulation when I entered into disordered eating, like it is for some people, or an eating disorder, or whatever you want to call it. For me, it was more about a means to an end for a goal and a dream. But it doesn't matter what it's about, it does matter in that the treatment needs to be tailored to what it's about, but it's, for me, it wasn't something I was doing to regulate emotions and things like that. It was, I wanted this dream and I didn't really know any better than to mould and conform my body into this so-called ballet perfection, and which just wasn't me. I mean, there's lots of dancers now who look more like me, and there's Misty Copeland and a lot of sort of There's still some unhealthy attitudes around, but lots of healthy attitudes now, given the zeitgeist of the day with eating disorders and everything. But I have had my struggles in the past. I do have a little bit to do with beauty contests when I was younger, and you know, so the stuff I've had to work through, and then I ended up specialising in that and in eating disorders as well, and in body image and self-esteem, self-worth, perfectionism, all of those things as a psychotherapist and counsellor and coach myself. So yeah, so it is something I've lived to an extent, and also something I've trained in and created my own methods and programs and so on in, and have a lot of experience with working with like hundreds of people over the years, who struggle with body image, who struggle with eating distress, who, you know, body image from dance, body image from breast cancer, body image just from unrealistic standards. I get a fair few youngsters, but not just youngsters, with body image issues from Instagram and social media and airbrushing. And I've actually been airbrushed myself back in, I think it was 95, on a dance poster. Yep. Before they had all the technology, and my director told me I'd been airbrushed. And yeah, so it was even happening back then, and there's actually nothing wrong with me on that poster, or in the photographs. They chopped a bit of my tummy off and a bit of my thigh off, and you know, say if you, and it, you know, even if I were overweight, I don't need chopping up. it's okay to be the weight you are, so long as it's not damaging to your health. I do appreciate obesity, and also being underweight can be damaging to health. But if that's natural for you to be a bit overweight or a bit underweight, and it's not damaging to your health, it's part of your DNA, your genetics, you know, that's okay. Healthy weight bands are just there as a guideline, but there are genetic weights as well, and I believe, you know, we need to keep in line with those to be healthy. I don't believe in deprivation. I always say to my clients and patients, no deprivation, no deprivation. Moderation in some things for health, maybe, but lifestyle changes, but no deprivation. But yeah, body image, a topic I am so passionate about. I'm working on new things in that area, constantly addressing my own body image. Like I say, I don't really struggle with that these days, not even with the breast cancer, but I do have moments here and there where it kind of hits me that I've got a mastectomy scar on the reconstructed boob, and well, it's not actually real boob, it is my skin though, and it's, I have moments where I wish none of this had happened, but also I don't wish it had not happened. Is that right? Not anyway, you know what I mean. Because I'm working with what is, I'm working with what is, and I'll be honest, breast cancer's helped me to slow down. I'm not saying, oh yeah, I'd like it again, or wish I had it, you know, I really wish this had happened. And but I've embraced it in a way that I've readdressed some things, and slowing down is one thing, relooking at body image and style is another, and you know, I'm working with what is. So yeah, but breast cancer can bring some really difficult body image struggles to people, not least with the scarring. Now, I love Clarissa Pinkola Estes and Women Who Run With The Wolves, and if you haven't read it, you know, read it. And it's not just for women, it's for all genders. And in there, there's a story where she says scar tissue is stronger than skin. And she's speaking emotionally, metaphorically, but Also, physically, scar tissue is stronger than skin, and we can look at that metaphorically as well. And, you know, it's only society that tells us scars are not attractive. I'm studying a combined STEM degree at the moment, and, you know, seeing how bones and body repair, it doesn't always repair what we might think of as perfectly, but it repairs, and the body is miraculous how it reproduces healthy cells, or, you know, can knit bone. And who's to say that it's not attractive if it doesn't do it so-called perfectly, whatever perfect is? And, you know, it's, my scars are not ugly, and I've not just got the mastectomy scar. I've had a number of lumps removed, benign ones like I spoke about before, but I won't go into that. And it's not ugly. For some people, these are their battle scars. For some people, it tells a story. It's, you know, some people really don't like their scars though, and they might need to do some work with that. And, you know, and around the body image. But I do appreciate it can be difficult with the scarring. Sometimes we like implants. If one side is implant, one the other isn't, there can be a slight difference in look. And at the same time, no person in a female body has two boobs that look the same. I think male bodies look a bit more even, but we all in a female body have one slightly bigger than the other, or a slightly different shape in our natural breasts. So, you know, these images of perfection, or where people have had two implants done for cosmetic reasons and it looks ideal, we need to throw those out of the water. But I do appreciate, you know, one breast can look slightly different sometimes with an implant, and that can be difficult to work with. Now, I've had people say to me, oh, I'm sure everybody can see. Most likely they can't tell at all. They can't tell at all. But we project out there sometimes, don't we, that people are seeing things, or we think people are looking at us. But often it's because we're myopically scrutinising ourselves. Okay, there'll always be a few idiots out there who will criticise, but usually that's more to do with them. That's them projecting their crap. They're insecure in themselves. But generally, people are not scrutinising us as much as we think they are. There may have been a person in our life, maybe a parent or someone, a friend, a teacher, who has scrutinised us. And therefore, we think everyone is sort of globalising there. But generally, most people are quite self-absorbed in a way, or self-interested, and they're more dealing with their own stuff or thinking about their own lives than they are assessing us. And I said, if they are assessing us, it often points to a problem in themselves. But I do appreciate it can be difficult body image wise, implants with scars. So there are things like with chemotherapy, even on things like tamoxifen, you can have hair loss. It's rare on tamoxifen. It doesn't happen often, but it can. But hair thinning is more common on things like tamoxifen, letrozole. But with chemo, there can be hair loss. Cold capping doesn't always work with people. Some people choose not to have cold capping, and there's hair loss. For some people, they're okay with letting go of the hair. They say, oh, they'll say they're not attached to the hair. I've got a friend with breast cancer who says she wasn't attached to her hair, however gorgeous it was. And others, it is a big thing. For me, it was when we were discussing chemo. I knew I'd find ways through it. I'd get some great wigs, some headscarves. But I was also thinking about teaching dance and dance therapy, and, you know, kind of how would I do that with a wig and a headscarf. And so for me, it had a quality of life component. But as I've said before, I've had an attachment to long hair. It's in a bob sort of now. So I've let go of a lot of attachment to this sort of classical ballet hair. And dancers do have shorter hair these days. And And that image, and I mean, I still have a dancer's image in a lot of ways in some of the clothes I wear, but the hair thing. But for me, it was one of the things when we're discussing chemo that I knew I would find difficult. And I know some women have really found it difficult. And I didn't go down the chemo route in the end. There was a better line of defence for me, but one that could still risk hair thinning, something I've been working through, and I'm happy with my hair now. Tiny bit thinner it is, but still quite thick, relatively, because you know, it was really thick to start with. But my eyebrows has been a thing I've struggled with, the hormones and stuff. I've not got all my eyebrows, and that started before my diagnosis, so I say from the hormones and stuff. I think the tamoxifen didn't necessarily help that. Eyelashes, but I've been using the serum. But it's not bad. It's not bad. But it's just things that, yeah, it's not great. I know some women really struggled, and men and other genders really struggled with eyelash and eyebrow loss, hair loss. And, you know, people may say things like hair grows back. It does, you know, sometimes grows back even better after losing it to chemo. But in the moment, that's not really helpful, is it? Unless a person is saying themselves, it grows back, I want to learn to keep that in my mind. But I just go, oh, it grows back. That in the moment, yeah, it does grow back, but you're still bald in the moment, and that can be hard. That can be really hard. And there's other people who don't mind being bald, and they just rock it. They just rock it. They do. There's a whole Sinead O'Connor back in the early days look even better. but some people really struggle with it. And, you know, hair is significant. You know, there's even a Bible story, isn't there, with Samson and Delilah. Now, I don't want to go into religion or anything like that. I'm just noting, in this book called The Bible, there's this story, Samson and Delilah, and she cuts his hair. It's because it's his strength, so it's symbolic. There's more stories over time about the symbolism of hair and what hair means, and, you know, so it is important. It is important. And what else have we got? Scars, implants. Some people don't have implants. They have their breast removed, a mastectomy without reconstruction. And that can be difficult too. Yeah, they have the prosthesis, but still, some people really struggle with a flat breast. Some people are proud of it. I say everyone's different, but I appreciate there's some struggles with like a flat breast, and for some people it can feel like the womanhood is taken away. Now, it's not taken away. It's not yours. If you identify as a woman without your breast, you are still a woman. You still have all that womanliness in you. But I understand how breasts can resemble womanhood, motherhood, you know, so there can be body image struggles there. Weight loss, weight gain can be another one. Not being able to exercise and losing some muscle definition can be another one. The treatments like tamoxifen, because estrogen is inhibited, it's like around the tummy area can change a little bit. So, you know, that's not always easy for people. But the thing is, I understand it's not easy. And at the same time, it's not that there's something wrong with you. I understand that, oh, this has changed, I don't like it. And change can be difficult. Like, we can feel we've changed into a different body, and that can be hard. It cannot feel quite like us. And at the same time, I just want to say, It's these standards out there that have been slapped on us that say, oh, around a tummy or around a midriff because of the hormones being suppressed makes us not attractive. If those narratives were not there being thrown at us from out there, and now so much more because we've got social media and everything. I'm not saying social media is always a bad thing. It's not. I use it in a healthy way. If it gets unhealthy with anyone, I stop them or stop it. And that if we didn't have those narratives, we wouldn't be going, I've changed and therefore I'm ugly. I've changed and therefore I'm fat. I don't quite like that word, but my clients and patients use it. So I use it to reflect their language. Change doesn't mean you are unattractive. Change is just change. It's a different, slightly different form or whatever. But I understand the narratives out there and narratives from our history that get in our heads, you know? My tummy's not as flat as it was with all my ballet, but I still dance well. I still dance well, and it's changed a bit since the estrogen inhibition with the tamoxifen. But it's my tummy. And I still dance well. Looks fine. Looks absolutely fine. So I can sometimes look at other dancers and the way the leotard goes, but I don't compare. You know, that was the old young me. I'm not going to compare. No, comparison does not help us. Sometimes people compare and come up inferior. Sometimes people compare and come up superior. But comparing with another, and then there's some people who compare and then try and overtake the other, but comparison, you know, flowers, the saying isn't the flowers don't compare. Two flowers growing next to each other don't go, oh, you're yellow, I'm pink. You know, is yellow better than pink? Oh, am I a better flower, a worse flower? Oh, what does this flower think of me? No, they just bloom side by side. They bloom into their own flower. And that's a message, that's the take-home message I want to give to everyone I work with and beyond. Not just people, not just clients and patients and coaches and students, but everyone I come in contact with is just bloom into your own flower, because that is perfect. And sometimes things happen like breast cancer and affects the flower a bit, but that doesn't make you not perfectly you. But it can feel difficult, you know, and this is why it can be helpful to work with someone in therapy or in coaching, or have a friend who you process, whether you can talk, you know, you can help each other with body image, and some self-help books and programs. And you know, I'm not talking about body positivity, just slapping a positive label on things. I'm talking about truly knowing your worth, your value, that you're worth it, that a change in your body does not make you any less than. But sometimes we need to do work through these old narratives. When I work, say, with affirmations with someone, I don't just like say, let's come up with a positive body affirmation. No, we work through the old negative internalized voices. So the past ones, the present internalized negative voices, and also the past internalized positive voices, and the present internalized positive voices. We work through that, we explore that, we challenge it, and then we come up with meaningful affirmations for that person. And over time, that can help to rewire the brain, because we were not born thinking, oh, I look crap, or I'm fat, or I'm this or that. No, we weren't. Somewhere we internalized, we affirmed negatively these things. So, yeah, I could talk for a long time on this, as you can tell, but I do give myself about a half an hour cut off with these podcasts, partly because I understand people's attention spans. I think students, they in lectures, their attention spans about 20 to 30 minutes, and they retain about a third, I think, something like that, psychologically speaking. So about half an hour, and that, you know, half an hour is long enough to hear me going on. But I'm sure this is something I will come back to. Okay, now, as I said, on my Patreon at the moment, I am covering body image and a little body image self-help program I wrote that I sometimes coach clients through, or using their therapy, if it's like longer-term psychotherapy. And I've put that on Patreon, actually. It's not publicly available. It was when I was working at an eating disorder charity. It was available for a while. We just put it out there, but I don't work there now, after 12 years, actually. So I don't think it's out there anymore. They're welcome to give it out if they want to their patients. So they even want to help people when they're not there. But yeah, it's more exclusive content now. And I'm working on other stuff, like I said, around body image. And I'm saying Patreon B for body image at the moment. If anyone wants to subscribe, be a patron on my Patreon, the monthly subscription for content, you know, creative, helpful resources. I encourage you, don't subscribe until the 1st of July, because that's the billing date, is the 1st of the month. And it's like, what, something like 28th today, isn't it? And I wouldn't want someone to like pay their little monthly subscription today and then pay again on the 1st. So I'm not accepting patrons till the 1st of July, so that you're not being double charged. Now, if that happens, like somebody subscribes towards the end of July, then they build again 1st of August, I can't really do anything about that, but I can start it off how I want. So yeah, if you want to subscribe to that, it's just a way I can, as I slow some things down, I can still put some things out there for people. And as I said, I do still need to earn a living. I am still doing my therapy work, but I've closed my waiting list. So I've got my own breast cancer stuff to deal with at the moment. Things have changed for me, but it's making me reassess what I really, really want. Something Spice Girls, tell me what you want, what you really, really want. But yeah, body image, it's an important one. I will come back to it. You know, and also why I incorporate David Kibbe's stuff and style and image consultancy and all that sort of thing into body image. Again, it's not just about creating an image or anything like that. It can include that. But this is about the best of you. And I love playing with clothes and style, and, you know, come back to that another time. And I'm sure that will be the S of the A to Z on my Patreon. But yeah, just have a think about anything I've said that resonates with you, and how you might take that forward, how you can create your own affirmations, but working through some of those internalized voices first. But just remember this: the breast cancer does not make you any less physically or otherwise, okay? Does not make you any less. So I leave you all there for now, and I will speak to you next Tuesday. Okay, take care. Bye for now.